Chris Veehan has returned to Washington as the Deputy Chief Technology Officer at the Office of Science and Technology Policy. He's a serial innovator. He was CIO of San Francisco right before coming back here. He's no stranger to the federal government. Veehan has worked for three other administrations dating back to Ronald Reagan. He joins us now at 3 months on the new job with what he's found and what he hopes to do. Mr. Veehan, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Good morning.
So first of all, begin at the beginning. Tell us what the deputy CTO at OSTP actually does.
Well, it's something that I've been exploring for the past 3 months, and the title or the focus is really about government innovation. And what I found, and knew before coming in, but what I've found is amazing pockets of innovation taking place all across government in various places, both small and large. And what I've been focusing on is taking those pockets of innovation and trying to understand what makes them work and what could make them work better, and try to come up with a strategy or a plan or a framework that could be used to take the best that we're doing and scale it across the government. So that's what I'm working on.
So is that much different from the last time you were with the White House back in the early 90s, late 80s?
Oh, yes. I mean, I was right before talking to you, I was doing the math, and it was 18 years ago that I left, and it was in a very different position, and so much has changed in those 18 years. I think, obviously, the presidential policies around innovation and open government, and we could talk a long time about those, but I think at a fundamental level, what's changed is simply the use of technology. Back then, we really didn't have cell phones, and there wasn't, we didn't conduct our business through the internet, and so many things were different. And I think one of the results of that change in the use of technology is simply that we are, 24/7 by 365 now. And I think that changes how we work and what we work on and how we respond to it. And just so many changes, it's just hard to capture.
Now, looking across the government as you have, has anything stood out to you immediately as something, this could be replicated across government? Any examples you found early on?
Oh, so many that we can talk about. I think one of them is simply this idea of crowdsourcing ideas. Many of the departments, and I'll talk about Department of Transportation as a specific example, have really taken this idea of using technology to create a vehicle or a platform where people can identify or surface their ideas in ways that they can share them with others and they can be voted up or down, and through that process of crowdsourcing actually create a meaningful directed conversation with staff that was never possible before, and really identify ideas that an individual agency like DOT can actually implement. And, that kind of efficiency and effectiveness of that decision-making is really what has changed and is exciting.
Well, does it matter with the budget constraints, especially everything that we're going through now within the federal government? Does that have an impact on some of these approaches?
Certainly, but I think the issues like crowdsourcing or like using the idea scale at DOT actually can surface those ideas that folks have within an organization that may have never gotten to the right place or gotten heard. And I think, look, we all work day in and day out. We're committed to this thing called public service. We're committed to doing the best job we can and meeting the missions of our particular agency. And so whatever we can do to capture that energy and turn it into action is what technology is all about. And so I think that is what is working, and I'm trying to figure out how to scale that.
Now, you spent a good deal of time as the CIO of San Francisco, which is a city that is very diverse and has a lot of different political forces operating on the government there. What did you learn there that might be applicable at the federal level?
Oh, I think it all starts with a strategy, with a vision. I was lucky that I had 5 years as CIO for San Francisco, and I laid out a 5-year plan. And that plan changed radically over the 5 years, but I used that strategy as a guide to really effect the change in San Francisco. So I think the first thing is really just having a vision, and I think the second is just persistence and patience. You are absolutely right. There are a lot of interest groups or interests, both good and bad, in a city like San Francisco, city and county of San Francisco. Everybody deserves to be heard. Everybody should be heard. But at the end, you do need to make a decision. So just kind of the patience to go through the process of listening, of learning, and then making the decisions that need to be made in order to put your agenda forward. So I think the third is just getting good people to help you carry out what everybody wants you to do and what you want to do. Building that team, because obviously, in that case, we were serving 750,000 people who lived in the city and 28,000 employees. Everybody has their specific needs and desires, but you need to be there in order to support what they need and what they want to do.
We're talking with Chris Vian, the Deputy Chief Technology Officer at the Office of Science and Technology Policy. And I want to expand on that just a little bit, if I could. I was just at the Management of Change Conference over the past couple of days, and one of the things that they had tried to do was really reach out to more local and state CIOs and other C-level managers for their participation, too. It's so almost a new concept for them. They're just beginning to get or to realize that this kind of two-way communication is really critical. It can't all be top-down. Are you also seeing that kind of a change of communication between state, local, and federal?
Absolutely. I think one of my frustrations when I was at the city and county of San Francisco was trying to get the state and or the federal government to work with me, to listen to my ideas and work with me, and so that we could jointly solve some problems. And so I think kind of combining the previous question and this question, one of the things we did in San Francisco that was very successful and was very much modeled after the President's SAVE Award was to create and use a platform, we call them these fancy words, ideation platforms, to help surface those ideas and get those ideas known and bubbling up and through kind of crowdsourcing, as I said, come up with the best ideas and then forward them for actual decision making. And I think what we did in San Francisco was then basically use that list of people as our list of innovators, our innovators in residence, if you will. And what we started doing is reaching out to them and bringing them together, because many of them hadn't ever met each other and didn't know that there were other people in the government that thought like they did or had the same concerns. And we started introducing them to luminaries in the technology or change world like Craig Newmark and others, people that they wouldn't necessarily have access to. And what we started seeing is incredible kind of learning and excitement as people understood that their opinions did matter, that their experience did have an effect on what we could do, and only kind of building that grassroots support and grassroots set of innovators could we really actually start the process of building from the bottom up and not just from the top down.
And just another question before we let you go. When people participate in these types of platforms and crowdsourcing ideas, it tends to be a self-selecting bunch, and often you see at the top the same names coming up over and over. At the federal government level, how can you be sure that those that do participate and send in ideas and participate in crowdsourcing represent enough of a cross-section so that whatever ideas you come up with really do reflect what most Americans might benefit from?
I think it's a very real concern, and I don't know that I have the answer to that. I think, as I just described, there is the process of just getting it started, and then I think there is focused outreach that needs to happen to make sure that within a particular agency and then across government, that as you are developing this grassroots army of innovators, that you do look at who is participating, look at a bit of their demographics, and then work with existing organizations within agencies to perhaps go out and find others that may not have been people who were participating on their own volition, but who the agencies know are good stars within their departments, and reaching out and trying to engage them directly. So it's not something that just happens spontaneously. It's work. I mean, it takes a vision and it takes an ability to go out and find the people to plug the holes of where you haven't found the right talent or the right ideas spontaneously.